Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, October the 27th, 2009, and welcome to episode 32 of The Beer Crate, a podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international brewers, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have the usual smattering of news, Drinker's Diary, an overview of the Brewdog Brewery, a full breakdown on how to conduct a beer tasting session, a Danish quick tastings, all thanks to Kent Mosbeck, the CEO export and business developer for Danish beers, and our world-renowned Try Before You Die. So let's get cracking. News, and the first major lobby event was a complete success, with brewers of artisan lagers around the country descending upon the White Horse Parsons Green to demonstrate their wares to an eager industry of fellow brewers and journalists. Harveston, Cotswold and Freedom were among the brewers exhibiting, and each took questions from the floor about the malts, hops and processes used. In fact, the lager-based discussions were as involved and technical as any that the ale crowd could manage, so I think Lobby are on to a winner. Brewdog, the brewery based around Punk Ideals, who we'll be discovering more about later on in the show, are issuing shares in the company. For such a young company, this is a bold step, but if they manage to issue all 10,000 shares, they'll pull in $2.3 million for future investment and the promotion of the brand. To save you the mathematics, that's £230 per share, which amounts to 10% of the company. I don't know how well this will work, but they do have a very loyal fan base and are able to throw a wonderful announcement party. Drinker's Diary, and we have three events for you this time. The first is the Concrete Pint Beer Festival, held, curiously enough, in the home of the Concrete Cow, namely Milton Keynes, or rather, Leadenhall, just outside Milton Keynes. This takes place from Thursday the 29th of October to Saturday the 31st. This is at the Pitts, Wharton Campus Leisure Centre, Rainbow Drive. The 11th Pool Beer Festival in Dorset is taking place from Friday the 30th to Saturday the 31st of October. Entertainment is provided on both days and advance tickets are recommended. This takes place at St Aldhelm Centre, Poole Road, Praxham, in Poole. And finally, Lightwaves Leisure Centre in Lower York Street, Wakefield, plays host to the 19th Wakefield Beer Festival. This takes place from Thursday the 5th of November, with Gunpowder Treason and Plot following on until Saturday the 7th. Here you can find 130 ales, various ciders, perries, fruit wines, foreign and British bottled beers. Brewdog is a young brewery with a young staff. Started in 2007 by Martin Dickey and James Watt, then both 24, they decided to brew interesting beers, taking a punk attitude to it, represented by their branding, video blog and names, including the 6% Punk IPA. Each beer has a self-proclaimed twist, which involves a gimmick in the ingredients or brewing process. Poppies and Cola Nut, as in the case of Dogma. It's aging in whiskey casks, which they did in the Paradox beer, or the dark Muscovado sugar used in the brewing of Riptide. The most famous, or maybe that should be infamous, beer is an imperial stout called Tokyo, which adds cranberries and jasmine to infuse some interesting tastes and use excessive dry hopping with the Galena hop to produce its head-busting level of 18.2% alcohol. This was the beer that was raised in the news, talking about how bad all beer is, to which Brewdog in their typical fashion then produced a 1.1% beer called Nanny State. They were also, as you will have heard from the news section of this show, producing shares for customers and those interested in owning a share of the brewery. Beer tasting. What better job could there be than beer tasting? We now have some tips on this seemingly simple task. Your beer reviews should be in five parts: sight, aroma, taste, mouthfeel, aftertaste, along with general description and comments. The sight should include a description of the colour of the beer, hazy gold or dark brown, and the size and texture of the head. You should observe it over time to see how the head dissipates and what traces of the beer are left on the glass. These are often known as the lacings. The beer's appearance doesn't affect the taste, unless it's off, but should be considered an appetizer, which gives you an inclination of what the beer could taste like. Unlike wine, the aroma can be discovered with a simple sniff. If it's a delicate beer, a simple big sniff is enough. You don't normally need to swirl the beer around the glass and talk about hints of rolling meadows, but the main aroma is the first thing to think about. Anything else that appears are the hidden notes. There has been a tendency for British beers of late to have a citrus or floral aroma with fruity notes. The darker British beers often have coffee or chocolate aromas. Taste is, as you'd think, what you think of when drinking it. Coffee, chocolate, fruit. The mouthfeel category asks you to consider how you describe it, if it were food. Does it slip down the throat? Is it a smoothie-esque solid liquid? How does it tingle on the tongue? The throat. The roof of the mouth. And finally, the aftertaste includes both the taste and mouthfeel, and whether the beer carries through on its original promises of taste, mouthfeel and aroma. And finally, the description should include everything you thought about the beer, including whether you actually liked it from a subjective point of view. You could also include ideas of good food to match with it, or which beers you find similar. Of course, if the review is purely for personal use, you only need to answer one question. Would I have this again? Organising a tasting session for friends is as easy as organising the proverbial piss-up in a brewery, so to speak. To legitimise the activity to significant others, you should treat the evening like a scientific exercise, making notes about the beer as you go. The following notes have been culled from Professor Goodwin's lab book on beer. Cleanse after every beer with bread, water, and optionally pizza. Bread is a fantastic cleanser and better than water. Swallow, don't spit. You lose the mouthfeel and aftertaste if you spit, and that's primarily for posh French people tasting wine. Rinse the glasses regularly, especially after dark beers, to avoid smell and taste contamination. Where possible, taste beers on a per-brewery basis, ordered by strength and darkness. When strength and alcohol conflict, decide to taste in increasing strength rather than increasing alcohol. Most breweries have a similar process for each beer, so this ordering lets you remember their other offerings, thereby understanding each beer more fully. You should perform the tasting in pairs, at the very least, and make full and complete notes as you go. Don't make rough notes and then write them in full later, as you'll be adding in something that exists only in your memory, and not the tasting. And obviously, when you feel your taste buds tiring, stop. Share each bottle with someone else. This not only avoids waste, but allows you to get a variety of opinions for each tasting. It also means you get opinions on beers that are not within your personal taste spectrum. The other benefit of working in pairs is that one can write the notes, while the other bakes the pizzas, refills the glasses, and so on. In this way, you can keep the rhythm going without any particular interruptions. And finally, have a small selection of food available. This allows you to test your "this would be really great with" ideas. Wasabi peas are a good source of spice, cured smoked pork allows you to contrast with stronger flavours, and so on. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Dark Horse from the Erbeck Brewery. This beer comes in at 5% and is a dark ruby in colour with a good foam head. There's a taste of bitter roasted malts, but with only a subtle malt in the aroma. This is a good beer to change gear from pale ales to dark ales, and a worthy 7.5 out of 10. Double Brown Ale by the Svanica Brewery. This beer has a raisin aroma with a sourdough mouthfeel. It's deep brown in colour with a nice foamy head, which gives way to a very quaffable session brown ale. Although there's more taste in the aftertaste than during drinking, that doesn't affect it from being a very good brew. It's 5.7% and 8 out of 10. Wood Quinoa from Sagyard's Brewery. This 4.5% golden red beer has a fruit blossom. It's also got taste of the Morello or sour cherry, and I'm never really sure if this is trying to be a ruby beer and misses, or a fruit beer that makes it. Either way, it's actually tasty, and therefore, regardless of what it's trying to be, I have to award it 8 out of 10. Hertog Hunt's No. 5 Valnod from the Rieser Brewery. This is a husky golden brown beer with a red fruit aroma and a maple nut flavour in the taste and mouthfeel. The brewery themselves consider this a walnut taste. I'm not sure. But it's 7% and is a very good transition beer. Very good with ribs or burgers and chips, with barbecue sauce, anything that's sweet and smoky with a tomato base. It's very good and it's 7.5 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Choco Stout from Svaneke Brewery. With so much Danish beer on the show this week, it was inevitable that one of them would win the Try Before You Die. This one is a pitch black beer with a Coca-Cola-like foam. There's a chocolate and vanilla aroma and a smooth, fluid mouthfeel with a holding chocolate aftertaste akin to melted chocolate. The tastes have a combination of dark chocolate and milk chocolate with a gooey chocolate brownie kind of feel. It's also a very good final beer for the evening. The brewery itself is named after Denmark's easternmost town of Svaneke, although the brewery itself is located on the island of Bornholm. It began in 2000 as a microbrewery, which, to many extents, it still is, if you consider its ethos to beers and brewing. However, the business side is much larger. Its range, 19 beers at last count, is anything but micro, and these beers range from the light pilsners to brown ales, rubies, stouts and porters. In short, they have made something for everyone. They also produce some fantastic organic soft drinks made with bilberry, elderflower, pear and apple. But since they have no alcohol, meh. All of their beers are unfiltered, ensuring that all the tastes remain with the beers, although there's very little sediment left in the bottle if that's an issue. The beers are then tested on the locals and unsuspecting tourists in the brewery's own restaurant, and it must be this that means they can produce so many beers, which are all actually pretty good. It's very rare for a beer to be discussed the day after a lengthy tasting session, but this was one of them, and that's why it's awarded this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with 2 colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.